You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let me start with the Texans, with them trading DeAndre Hopkins in a fourth-round pick to the Cardinals for a second-round pick and running back David Johnson. It was a big deal because we knew Hopkins was still one of the top three wide receivers in the game. And we were wondering, okay, you don't want to pay him. What are you going to get in return? So you get a second-round pick and David Johnson. And a lot of us were baffled because Hopkins is still one of the great receivers, and he's still in his prime. And a second-round pick seemed like a bargain. David Johnson, I think, is on the injured list right now. But you got Kyler Murray, Hopkins transforming the Cardinals' offense. They're a real contender in the NFC West, and we saw that with the final seconds ticking away on Sunday, a home game against the Bills. They needed a touchdown. Murray performed his usual magic, escaping a would-be pass rusher and somehow going left, throwing back across his body, and he was able to throw it 50 yards. Hopkins outjumped three Buffalo defenders, and he's got the best hands in football. The stats prove that. He doesn't have any drops. He's had seasons where he didn't have drops. Factor that in, he has some of the biggest hands in the NFL. He doesn't drop the football. But here is the final call. Let me give the Cardinals' call. No, let me give Buffalo's call first. This is Snap. WGR Bills Radio Network.
Snap. Murray pressured. Bills rush four. Murray's in trouble. Gets away from it. Rolls to his left. Fires it downfield. Puts it up for grabs. And it is
caught.
Caught for a touchdown. Unbelievable. Caught by DeAndre Hopkins. Surrounded by a couple of Bills defenders. He went up and brought it down. Unbelievable.
Just the word caught. That was it.
Caught.
Yeah, caught. And it's everybody around. Caught. That's all you needed to hear there. Here's KTAR, the Cardinals Radio Network, with the call.
Murray back to throw. Flushed out. Rolling left in trouble. Slips a tackle. Got to launch it. He does. Left side. Into the end zone. Jump ball. And it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness. It's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left. I can't believe it.
Is that our buddy Ron Wolfley?
Sure.
Yeah. Dave Pasch on the call there. And the Cardinals pick up the victory in dramatic fashion. And I know that what we love to do after this is, you know, when somebody wins or somebody loses and then we have to decide, you got to make that immediate statement right away. Kyler Murray, MVP, you know, conversation. I'm, you know, if we want to do this week to week, it's fine. Kyler Murray is a wonderful player. And you want to put him in the MVP conversation, go ahead. To me, Patrick Mahomes is still the most valuable player as far as league-wide. Now, you want to talk about if you don't have Kyler Murray, then they're not in this position. Okay, you can make that argument there. What Kyler Murray did, rolling left, and then you're trying to throw it back, and you're throwing it 50 yards just to try to – how many times do we see a quarterback throw it out of bounds? He put it in a spot where DeAndre Hopkins could settle under it. And then you had three receivers. And a lot of times what happens is these receivers are trying to play the ball. I got to find the receiver and then get in position. They're kind of looking at the ball, and then sometimes you're trying to intercept it. You would just want to knock it down. But if I'm saying what was more incredible, I expect DeAndre Hopkins to catch every ball thrown his way. I didn't expect Kyler Murray to be able to roll left and be able to throw it and put it where he put it. They both made great plays there, and that was an incredible win for Arizona. I don't know how good Arizona is. I don't know how good Buffalo is, because Buffalo with Josh Allen had the incredible play where they scored the touchdown with Stephon Diggs. And you thought, okay, that's what you want out of a young quarterback. This is why you traded for Stephon Diggs. But Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, that was impressive. And to do that at the gun, and that keeps them in the race. When you think about the NFC West, how competitive is that right now? You got Arizona 6-3, Rams 6-3, Seattle 6-3, Cardinals at Seahawks on Thursday, Rams at Tampa on Monday night. Seattle plays the Cardinals and Rams again. Arizona plays the Rams twice, Seattle once. Rams at Arizona week 13, finish at Seattle, and then Arizona at home. It's a toss-up. Really is. And how big is this game coming up on Thursday night, the Cardinals at Seattle? Seattle's offense, Russell Wilson starting to look average right now, making mistakes. Yes, Paulie.
Sorry, God.
I know. Russ is starting to look average right now. Forcing the ball. Yes, McLovin.
Is there any doubt that Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson showdown will come down to one drive? Both teams have been like that.
It's you'd always get the feeling, though, with any game Russell Wilson is in, it's like whoever has the ball last. You know, that's it comes down to whoever has it last, you're probably going to win. But Kyler Murray's game-winning touchdown yesterday allowed him to extend a streak. So he's had five consecutive games with both a rushing touchdown and a touchdown pass. That's the longest such streak in NFL history. Barring an injury, he's a lock to set the rushing record for quarterbacks in a single season. The most coming into this season was 14 by Cam Newton. That was back in 2011. Kyler Murray already has 10. I don't think that they're a great team, but I do think that with Kyler Murray, it's a dangerous team. And this is what happens when you look at matchups when you get to the postseason. There are certain teams. Remember Tennessee last year with that matchup? That's like you're facing Army. You're facing a team that runs the ball all the time, and you got to get ready for them. And you got a week to prepare for them. Kyler Murray gives you that feeling of how do we prepare for him? And I don't know if there is a true game plan to prepare for him. But that's one of those matchups in the postseason. If they get there, that could be a really, really dangerous out. You know, Buffalo's that way, too. You're not quite sure. Josh Allen was great. He was. But the defense allows them to go the distance and then score a touchdown. And, you know, they pride themselves in having a great defense there. But that's one of those losses if you're Buffalo. Because New England's not going away. Miami's not going away. I mean, I think
your Dolphins?
Yes, my Dolphins are not going away. Remember when you guys raised eyebrows when Tua replaced Ryan Fitzpatrick? Well, the Dolphins are 3-0, and he hasn't thrown an interception. His passer rating is 10 points higher than Fitzpatrick. Actually, it was me who said, why are you bringing in Tua, not leaving Ryan Fitzpatrick in there? Well, he looks good. You know, he's not putting up Joe Burrow numbers or Justin Herbert. But all I want him to do is win. Miami's a half game behind Buffalo right now. The Dolphins got Denver, the Jets, Cincinnati in the next 3 weeks. They could be 9-3. Dolphins could be 9-3 next 3 weeks playing those opponents there. All righty. We'll come up with poll question, McLovin. What kind of honors are you going to do today? By the way, masterclass offering over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. It's great. And you do it at your own pace. They're usually between 2 and 5 hours, but you can watch in increments. And you watch it on your own time. This holiday, you buy an annual membership. You get another annual membership for free. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick. Masterclass.com/Patrick. You want to learn about photography. You want to learn about cooking. You want to learn about comedy. You want to write a script. You want to learn to play basketball. Steph Curry, tennis, Serena Williams. Masterclass. Masterclass.com/Patrick. What do you have for me, McLovin?
Okay, this makes absolutely no sense, but I want to ask it anyway. Mm-hmm. Who are you most excited to watch moving forward? Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa, or Jameis Winston to see how he does if he gets a Saints job? I know the three of them don't fit in any way, but I got to be honest, I'm very excited to see what Jameis has since New Orleans.
I'll take your apologies, Saints fans, off the air. I told you Taysom Hill is not your backup quarterback. Jameis Winston is your backup quarterback. And it's nothing against Taysom Hill. He's a fine talent. He does a lot of different things. He might have the best job in football because he goes, you know, every Sunday. He's like, what am I playing today? Do I get to be running back at a wide receiver, special teams, quarterback? Jameis Winston is your backup quarterback right now. And I don't think they have a tough schedule the next 3 weeks, although they do play Atlanta. Atlanta's going to sting them once, it feels like. But I think they got Atlanta twice over the next 3 weeks. Yeah, Paulie.
Classic Falcons. They've won 2 in a row, and they'll probably end up finishing 8-8.
I know. I think we said this a couple of weeks ago. I said, watch the Falcons. They'll win 4 in a row, and then we'll go, what? Where was this team before? Yeah, McLovin.
Why did all the New Orleans beat reporters say that Sean Payton had told them that Taysom Hill was the future quarterback? Like that, we heard from multiple people, like Jeff Duncan. And
well, he might have told them that.
Why would he tell them that?
I have
no
idea.
No intention of doing it.
He loves Taysom Hill, and they're paying Taysom Hill. Jameis Winston is a professional quarterback. Now, we know he throws a lot of interceptions, but he did throw for 5,000 yards. He just needs to understand the game. And he's with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and I expect him to be a starting quarterback again in the league. Yeah, Paul.
About a year or so ago, New Orleans signed Taysom Hill to a two-year extension for $21 million, $10 million a season, $16 million guaranteed to make him one of the highest backup quarterbacks in the league. People thought he was the guy. They put money on it.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense as to why they thought he was going to be a bad. He wasn't even a good college quarterback, a consistent college quarterback. He's a very talented running quarterback. Yes, McClellan.
But serious question, why is Taysom Hill such an irritant to everybody? Like, Twitter just goes insane every time he gets up. And I can see you guys are mad. Is it because he was bad in college?
I'm not mad. I just offer reality here. I'm not partisan. I'm bipartisan.
Well, Twitter is partisan. There's no person that makes him angrier than Taysom Hill. When he gets in the game, even when he runs for an 11-yard touchdown, people are like, oh, I should have Breeze on the field.
But I think it's because we're being told he's a Lamar Jackson type, or he's the new wave of quarterback here in the NFL, and he might be, but he's 30 years of age.
Who's telling us that? Nobody's saying he's a Lamar Jackson, are they?
I think that Sean Payton is. I think Sean Payton's saying, "Hey, I got this secret weapon here." Yeah, Paul.
I think what makes me angry about Taysom Hill is the way the Saints don't use him. He should be their starting. In the starting backfield with Kamara, they should have him on the field 70 plays a game. Him on the sidelines is a waste of time. It's nobody's surprised when he comes in the game anymore. I mean, we've seen all his cards. The guy's 30 years old. Play him more at the running back receiver position, not quarterback.
Yeah, but you want the element of surprise.
It's over.
That's what they always go, oh my God, Taysom Hill's in. Now what do we do? Yes, McLovin.
But he's 6'3", and he runs completely up straight. Like, he can't be a running back. He would get murdered. He's got to be in that weird wild.
Derrick Henry's working out okay.
But Derrick Henry gets down a little bit. Like, Taysom Hill has no idea. He doesn't run at all. Like,
I don't think anybody's afraid to tackle Taysom Hill.
Oh.
I think there are a lot of people afraid to tackle Derrick Henry.
Oh, you don't think there's business decisions on Taysom Hill? They say he weighs a lot. But
well, I mean, maybe.
And Kamara, by the way, oof.
Man.
He is he's a special little player.
Yes, he is. But, Jameis Winston is, to me, your backup quarterback. Now you're starting quarterback, depending on what happens with the MRI with Drew Brees' ribs. Yes, McClellan.
By the way, Jameis started off, completed his first six passes and missed his next four.
It's okay.
Does anyone have any idea who he is as a quarterback?
I don't know if he has any idea who he is as a quarterback. But I think he's learning to let the game come to him. He would always force it. He's got talent, but he thinks he's Brett Favre out there sometimes. Yes, McClellan.
Yeah, Sean Payton, like, if he can reclaim him and Teddy Bridgewater, he's obviously great at this. So why Taysom? I get back to why Taysom Hill?
Yeah, but Teddy Bridgewater was a good college throwing quarterback.
No, I mean, Jameis could be the next Teddy Bridgewater.
Maybe.
You said that in the preseason. You said this is the right spot because it'll...
Oh, I think it's a wonderful spot for Jameis Winston. Absolutely. Great luxury to have. Yeah, you get him a couple of games under his belt. These next three games, he gets to play a couple of them. I don't know. Jimmy Garoppolo got a contract out of two games with the Patriots. But I think Jameis Winston can be a starting quarterback again. Absolutely. All right, so we'll settle on a poll question. Any other ideas that you have?
Two teams I want to ask about. Will the Steelers go 16-0?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hard. It's hard to go winless. It's hard to go. Okay, what's more likely? The Jets don't win a game. The Steelers don't lose a game. I was asking the question to you, McLovin.
Well, the Jets almost screwed it up against the Patriots last week, who are now turned out to be a good team. So I have no idea.
I don't know if the Patriots are a good team. I think they're an average team.
Right.
That's a big win last night. That's Belichick's genius in a great game plan. They knew what they had to do, and they did it. And Baltimore's got some questions right now. But
didn't Joe Flacco scare you a little bit if you're a Jets fan last week by throwing too well and maybe costing you the top pick?
Yeah, a little bit. He's getting a little too competitive out there for me.
Yeah. The other question
was, the memo.
Will the 4-5 Patriots make the playoffs? The Bills are 7-3, so it'll be tough to catch
them. I'm going to say no because they're going to be the third best team in their own division.
Yeah, they're kind of pinned already.
It feels like that. You know, Miami is trending upwards. Buffalo's still going to be tough, but I don't know. I don't think New England's good. I think they're average, but they're dangerous. We can see when you give Bill a chance with a game plan and, you know, being able to beat the Ravens using your running game, and then you got Cam in there. A couple of special, you know, trick plays in there as well. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Carter, is Carter calling in?
Carter's hey, what up, DP?
Hey, Carter.
How you doing, man? So I'm going to start off with my worst of the weekend real quick, which is my Broncos. I mean, Fritzy, we just can't get it together.
Pathetic.
Okay.
I know. And then, obviously, my best, DJ winning. Called it 2 years in a row now. I don't know how that's possible or what the odds are on that, but it's happened.
Yes, Paulie.
Carter was on the show the other day, and yes, he did pick Tiger 2 years ago, and he picked DJ. And Dan, I'm going to be forthcoming here. Here's how it sounded the other day.
And your favorite to win the Masters this year after correctly predicting Tiger Woods last year is who? Carter from Colorado.
Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson. Not a.
He's going to be a
shocker.
Very happy man.
I think he's already a happy man. He goes home to Paulina Gretzky. I think he's okay. Thank you, Carter. But that's not really going out on a limb with Dustin Johnson there. Now,
if you picked him to finish third, that'd be a great pick, Dustin Johnson. No offense.
Wow.
I bet a week's pay he doesn't finish. Well, I mean, obviously the odds are against him, but he's not a closer, not a big closer. This is going to come back to bite me on Monday.
Probably.
Sure. Yeah.
Probably.
He'd guarantee to win. There it is.
Yeah.
I figured I'd pull that Band-Aid.
Yeah. Even during yesterday, Paulie goes, oh, Dustin's going to give it up. Dustin's going to give it up. And then we realized that it got interesting, and then after a while, then everybody falls to the wayside and Dustin ends up winning. So Carter, once again, well done. Not as much of a stretch as the Tiger Woods call. That was impressive. DJ yesterday, not that impressive. But back-to-back, and we look forward to your next call at Augusta coming up next April.
Absolutely. My research department is already on its way. So, and I have a couple of quick comments about the Masters.
Okay.
Real quick.
All right.
I was just really happy to see DeChambeau struggle after all the hype and everything. I just love that. It was very good to watch for me. And then Cameron Smith needs a shave. I'll leave you with that.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Carter. Was that a mustache? That I don't know what he had, but it's one of those that you have to look and go, is that a mustache? Is that the start of a mustache? How long has he been working on that mustache? But that dude just hung in there. I don't think he was kind of clueless. He was just like, yeah, I don't know, I'm just playing. He looks like a guy that you'd find at a public course, and you'd go, that guy, Cam over there is pretty good. All right, Cam, you want to play along? All of a sudden, he goes out there, and you know, he's doing his best to go toe-to-toe there. But he realized you just run out of holes after a while. Because Dustin Johnson was going to be able to do some damage on the par fives. He played great. So, Paulie.
I'm glad no one in the room took me up on that bet to Dustin Johnson. I would have bet against him and taken the field.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I wrote this letter to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, David Baker, who does a great job at the Hall of Fame. And I called him and I said, I want to write a letter on behalf of John Facenda. And he said, love it. We love people getting involved. And I started by saying, dear Mr. Baker, I'm writing to ask you to consider NFL Films narrator John Facenda for the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award. Facenda's rich voice and perfect timing and pace help films turn football into an art. Along with creators Ed and Steve Sable, who were deservedly honored by the Hall of Fame, Facenda helped films establish the NFL as our country's premier sport. Known by fans as the voice of God, Fassenda's dulcet baritone was essential to the brilliant music and the brilliant pose in all of those great highlights. Every broadcaster tries to do their best John Fassenda impersonation. It's hard to recite lines like, "The autumn wind is a pirate," and "Through the chill of December, the early winter moans." But it's that January wind that rattles old bones without trying to copy John Fassenda. But no one can add as much gravity and depth as Fassenda. Sometimes we take for granted how important the voices of a sport can be in establishing its popularity. Fassenda and the work of NFL Films played an integral role in expanding the popularity of the sport. He's a perfect candidate for the 100th year of pro football because hearing his voice reminds fans of everything that's so magical about this sport. There are many wonderful broadcasters who have been honored by the Hall of Fame, but the list is incomplete if John Fassenda is not part of it. Some say the criteria for the Hall of Fame should be whether you can tell the story of a sport without that person. You might be able to tell the story of the NFL without him, but it's a lot more exciting when it's John Fassenda's voice is part of the soundtrack of football history. Sincerely, Dan Patrick. So I sent that to David Baker, and we'll see. We'll follow up, and hopefully John Fassenda, I don't know if he's ever been considered before, but at least we get an opportunity to nominate him. Yeah, McLevin.
When this all started, I was surprised that he wasn't in. Like, I'm like, who's in if he's not in?
Yeah.
You know, I know Myron Cope is a big name and deservedly in, but there aren't a lot. These football, like John Madden, but they don't have, it's not like baseball. All the great voices are baseball, right?
Yeah, or in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, makes sense.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. He's won the Masters 3 times, the British Open 3 times, and he wins our hearts every weekend. And he's doing golf for CBS Sports. Nick Faldo, the lead analyst who joins us. Nick, how are you? Oh, look at you. You got some
can
things.
You see my, seriously, I can't hold a candle to your setup on your desk. But how are you, my friend?
What do you have? You got your Christmas ornaments here? Are you a puppeteer?
These are the gnomes. They're the most highly, after the green jacket, these come a very close second. These are the most highly prized thing. I only got started the collection last year with this fella because they did a Christmas, which I assume, we hope, will be the only ever Christmas gnome ever. So he's worth a fortune.
I like how Nick forgot where his green jackets were yesterday when Jim Nance was asking. So you said, your trophies. I got one in London and yes, I don't know. I have two in London? I'm like, really? You don't know where your trophies are?
No, I do have one in Florida, and I actually, it's kind of, I don't make a big fuss, but I, you know, I can walk up past it every single day on the way to the kitchen and have a look at it. And it's just, and there's the old claret jug, you know, just lying around next to the wine bottles, you know. So it's, hey, I just like to gently remind myself and anybody who comes in the front door who I was.
Do you get three green jackets or just one?
Because technically one.
Okay.
But as I said, I've become a little plumper over the years. And I the funny thing was, I thought I would try to bring a bit of European style, Italian tailoring. So I said, any chance I could have a 2-button one? But they did a 3-button, of course, and all they did was lengthen the lapel, and it still got a buttonhole in it, so it didn't really work. And actually, my one I wore this year for Champions Dinner was a little tight, so I might have to I think it's because I've been exercising, so I might have to put an order in one a smidgen bigger, might be nice. Yeah.
What would you shoot on the course if you played it today?
I couldn't break 80 out there. I'd shoot 40 over. I mean, how Mr. Langer shot 4 under, you know, beats Tiger, plays Bryson and beats him. I mean, he can't hit it 250 off the tee. Bryson's hitting it 350. And Berner's going in with 3 woods and thing, he misses a green and he hits a funky chip and he holds the putt. I mean, he is phenomenal. I mean, you don't. They need to talk. He needs to do a mental book. The psychology, because he is amazingly powerful to do that. That is some achievement. I wouldn't even go out there. I would absolutely embarrass myself and hate it. So I'm quite happy sitting in my little A-team town. It's a lot easier.
Dustin, that performance this weekend, could he have done the same thing back in April, given the normal conditions in April as opposed to November?
No, exactly. They're going to have to put an asterisk to that one because, having soft greens, those first 2 days, there's many holes, many hole locations where the players would pull it, especially down that sixth hole. They would pull it, it would land on the left edge of the green and just plug and stay there. Well, if you hit that pull under normal greens, that would be one big bounce. You'd be in the bushes. You would, at best, you'd take a five if you get a shot like that. That's, I talk so much about, hitting the right shot in the right place. So if you decided to hit a fader into a certain spot, you better do it. If you pull it and land it on the wrong spot, off she goes, and you're usually topside in an absolute mess. So, yeah, there's no way 20 under, absolutely no way. Firm, once you get the greens firm, it's a completely different strategy.
If Bryson DeChambeau came to you and said, what do you suggest? What did you see?
Yeah, I would say it's the intensity of the preparation. As we say, less is more, isn't it? Get organized. I mean, I spent a lot of time with him on the range. I like the guy. But there's so much going on. I mean, he was chopping and changing. He's got four shafts, six heads just for his driver. One of the grips on his irons wasn't secure. It was moving. That's got to be. Now, I'd have a kitten if that was me in my day. Everything, you wanted everything organized. So nothing's new. When you go play majors, why not bring all your old stuff? Everybody gives you brand new clothing and shoes and stuff, and that may not quite fit. Quite right. So why mess with that? I used to say, no, I'm coming with old shoes. All the gloves have been checked. You check your sweaters and everything beginning. You make sure everything fits and works. So I would try and find a way for him to say, hey, that's his style. That's his mind. He wants to do all that. That's fine. He's different, which is great. But go and do all that preparation a couple of weeks before. So when you arrive there, there's the bag of clubs, maybe that. Now he likes that putter. He doesn't even mess with the putter. And then just go out and quietly work on it and take everything down. That's old school. Sure, he's unique, but Jack did that and Tiger did that. And all the best seem to have done that, preparation. You'd rather come in quietly. And I'm sure Dustin does that. I chatted with Dustin a lot as well. And he's looking, he didn't want to get involved. I went down the range. He says, what's going on up there? So he's smashing it. And he says, but I can smash it with it. I've got a longer driver, but I don't want to use it. I got a better dink. He calls it dinking it when he just dinks that 320-yard drive left to right. So, I like that. Whether you call that old school, but I think a lot of athletes, especially individual sports, like to be calm and quiet before they go and do things.
You also have players who feed off the patrons or a gallery at other tournaments, but at the Masters, I don't know if that helped Dustin Johnson or mattered at all that there weren't any patrons. Because he doesn't strike me as a, hey, like Tiger loved it. Yeah. Certain guys embrace it. Phil loves it. I don't know if it helped Dustin that there weren't any patrons.
I think quite possibly. If there's one guy who out of the top players who's like, hey, you just say to him, this is the way it is. He goes, fine, and gets on with it. It's quite an enviable quality that he just can deal with things and let them go, just forget about it. And that's, as I said, that's probably the best line. This is what you got. He says, fine, I'm going to go and play. I'm playing good. I got a chance of winning Greenjack. Inside their hearts, I can promise you it was pounding and breathing, as you could see. I mean, they're still playing for a green jacket, but, unfortunately, not having the patrons, it doesn't have that amazing buzz, electricity. And can you just imagine if Tiger, this was his 15th win, and he was walking up the 18th to do this, the most amazing thing, win his 15th major, and there was nobody there. So, boy, did he luck out.
Yeah.
So did we luck out, really, because, we had the most amazing experience last year, and then obviously this one. was quiet. You know, it was a quiet walker, which I've had every week. I've always said that's the hardest thing to me. You're leading a tournament or a major, and you're on the tee on Sunday, and it's on the tee, Colin Morikawa, off you go, and you're like, okay, two people clap, and it's like I'm playing for a major, and off I'm going. I think the guys have coped with it pretty well. I mean, I said, hey, hopefully this is just it, this one season, and you can say, hey, do you remember how crazy it was in 2020? We had nobody out there, but we're all back to normal maybe next year.
He's Nick Faldo, CBS Sports lead golf analyst. Have you ever been in a position that Tiger was when, what are you drinking out of your Masters cup there?
It's some fancy fruit juice. Oh. It's too early in the morning. I believe it's too early.
How many bottles of wine do you have in your wine cellar?
They're not that far away. Lindsay and I, we say literally every day, this is not a good day to give up drinking, is it, in this COVID world.
If I had a drinking golf tournament, who would win?
Yeah, we're tequila and whiskey lovers. You know, actually, we got into more American whiskeys this year as well. Good old Scotch, Irish whiskeys, and an American whiskey. So we've got a fine year of sampling, I have to say.
All right. Have you ever been in a situation where Tiger was on 12 yesterday?
Not quite like that. Not in that spotlight. No, not when it's, what on earth is going on? What is happening? But again, isn't that amazing? You know, last year that was the pivotal hole. And so are the golfing gods watching saying, just to remind you, mate, that was really good last year, but just remember I'm the boss. I haven't been, but look, his poor guy is governed by his back. I mean, I don't know how much longer he can. He must also have amazing mental strength to go into each week, hoping, believing that the back will survive. I mean, but if it tightens up as it did, you can see how he's gingerly getting out that bunker. It affects him, and he wants to play with these youngsters. And how on earth can you do it if your back isn't anything close to as good as it was in your prime?
Also, to manage a golf course, because he used to overpower, now he has to sort of manage it.
Yeah.
And he's got the acumen, he's obviously very bright when it comes to that. But sometimes your ego gets in the way. You're playing with somebody, they want to juice it up and hit it out there, and then he wants to crank it up there a little bit. It almost feels like that's who he's fighting. He's fighting himself. He's got the field and these young guys, but Tiger in his mind, can he manage a golf course and still win majors?
Well, bottom line is no, because look, there's just too many. He's competing. In his day, he was fending them off one at a time. Big Ernie Els would have a run at him, or other guys, the Chris DeMarcos or the Bob Mays would have a go. But they were coming at him one at a time. Now there's tens and twenties of guys, youngsters, Sung Jae Im's, or people you don't really know the names of if you're a non-golfer, but look how these guys play. So how do you get in the mix? Tiger played pretty darn good day one, considering, he hasn't done a lot of golf. Nothing was really that good. He went out and played really smart, good golf. And you think, wow, that was really impressive. A 68. And you think, well, can he thread it around, keep doing that? But you're right. Then the youngsters, off they go. And then you start, maybe you force it. And the golf course did get a little bit more difficult, got more difficult Saturday, set it up quite tough. So that's when the kids get the advantage. There's too many of them really right now.
Do you miss playing?
Sure. I mean, as an athlete, I wish, I think that every athlete stops, don't they? I mean, Usain Bolt says, I can't run fast enough, the younger, or every sport an athlete eventually comes to. Sure, it hurts. It actually really hurts because that was my love. That's, being a golfer, being a competitive golfer, believing you can go out there and win. was what it was all about. And so, she, you know, it hurt me for a long time. Actually, for about 5 years, to be honest, that I couldn't play golf like Nick Faldo could. And hey, now it's way on now. I mean, those my wins are 30 years ago. So, but even now, it's our game is so. It drives us up the wall because it dangles a carrot. And even now, I'm thinking it's 63. I go, and some days I can hit the ball on the range. I hit it great. And I'm like texting everybody, I'm going to go and play. I should go and play. And then I went back the next day and I hit it crap. And I came back and Lindsay goes, what's the matter? I said, I hit it crap today. You know, and I said, but I'm not playing anything, but I'm upset.
How about if we did a skins game of golfers over 60? You and three others.
Well, exhibition golf, you know, gosh, I was doing, as you know, we've done 101 Zoom calls in this COVID time. I was doing one the other day, obviously, you know, my love for Sebi and what a great man he was. And I thought, oh, if dear old Sebi, because you just imagine if Sebi and I could have partnered each other, we'd have taken on anybody. I said, we'd take on Rory and Bryson. I mean, Sebi could talk him out of it. And while he's annoying them, coughing on their backswing, what have you, you know, maybe I'd make 18 pars, and, you know, and I'd sneak a par at the last to beat them. I don't know.
Did Sebi used to jiggle change in his pocket during a backswing?
He never had money. No.
But he would cough in your backswing?
No, that's right. There was the famous cough, you know, but that actually was... Unfortunately, was a cough. He would still be coughing at 4 a.m, you know. So, it'd be poor timing, as one would say. Yes.
It was great. Great over the weekend. Hope you're well. What are you doing the rest of the day?
Rest of the day? Do you know? I actually want to. After this, I've got to go sort the garage out. Like everyone, we're moving out of this house. I've got to go and tidy up a little bit. But then, you know, the golf course is only down the road, and I haven't hit any balls. That's how crazy it is. The clubs are in the car. I've got a couple of new irons I want to try. Don't know why, but I'm gonna go out and hit some balls this afternoon. I need some fresh air. I sat in my tower all week, so I thought it'd be fun to go and hit some balls.
I love it. You're not cleaning your own garage.
Yeah, man of the world.
Oh,
hey, there you go. Yes, he is. Oh, damn it. I guess I am.
I just heard somebody saying you are.
That's Lynn's. Yeah, that's my lady. Why not? I don't know what I'm going to do for the next 2 months. We've got, obviously, by the time we hit Christmas, then I said to Jim, and he didn't ask, we're back on in 2 months' time. You know, CBS will be back on West Coast Swing. And he went, wow, you're right.
Yeah.
So that'll go in a flash. And, hey, I wish everybody well. Hope everybody's safe. Stay safe. Christmas. Enjoy yourself. You've got Thanksgiving, of course, America, and then Christmas. And then, we'll be back out. We'll be back out on tour. Hopefully all safe and sound.
Thanks again. Always great. And once again, we always appreciated your time at Pebble Beach. You got up. You let us off very early in the morning and always brought great sense of humor.
Why were you there this year? I had plans. I had plans for you.
Well... we ran into some managerial situations there. Yeah, something like that. Money involved in it. I'll try to rally. I hope to cross paths with you again with the show. But thank you again, Nick.
Yeah, good. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry
everybody.
Christmas. Thank you. That's the great Nick Faldo.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Anthony Davis opted out of his contract with the Lakers. No, it's not breaking news. He's just opting out to make more money to stay with the Lakers. Lakers intend to acquire Dennis Schroeder from Oklahoma City Thunder. And he was really sought after. He was runner-up to sixth man of the year last season. And he's got one more year left on his contract, but he's good. He's a good player. He's only 27. That gives you a little bit of flexibility if you lose Rajon Rondo or Avery Bradley or both in free agency. You got a guy who can start for you. And they'd have to make this trade with Oklahoma City. But I think he would be... you know, great addition for the Lakers here. Dennis Schroeder. Yes, Paul.
And Schroeder's averaging almost 40% from three, which is big.
Yeah. The other topic is certainly James Harden. Is James Harden going to be moved? The ESPN.com report that Harden, I guess, is looking at the Brooklyn Nets as one of his possible trade destinations, according to ESPN. Harden has been increasingly uneasy about the Rockets' ability to compete for an NBA title. Isn't he part of the reason why they've been unable to? Whatever. And he's considering the possibility of pushing to play elsewhere before his contract expires. I guess you can't move Russell Westbrook, but you can James Harden. But what do you get in return? You got Caris LeVert. You got Spencer Dinwiddie. But I don't know how many draft picks you got there that you can give to the Rockets. Yes, McLovin.
Jared Allen, the center. He's kind of juicy, no?
He's an energy guy. Do we need to have James Harden if you have Kyrie and Kevin Durant? Like, how many is too many? And everybody likes to shoot. Last I looked, those three like to shoot. If I say to everybody okay, averaging 22 points a game? Everybody good with that? Now, everybody might start out that way, but... And Harden was there with Kevin Durant, so they know each other, but I don't know who... If I'm Houston, what am I getting here? If you said I could get Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie... Or you say I could get Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. I mean, this is an entertainment business. Your business is the key word there. The Rockets aren't winning anything if James stays or he goes, but what am I getting in return? And can I get something that's younger? And maybe we are a different team. Because what we did before is not going to work, big picture. Great regular season team, fun regular season team, entertaining regular season team. But deeply flawed when they get to the postseason. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm not sure my Nets are confident they'll get a full season out of Durant and Irving. Maybe that's why, because they're injury guys, especially Kyrie. He's always going down.
But if I'm going into this assuming everybody's healthy. Now, you might have limited minutes for Kyrie and or Kevin Durant, but are you? What kind of style are you playing here? I mean, what is the team? Because James is ball dominant. Kyrie can be ball dominant. KD needs his mid-range jumpers. But I don't know. It sounds interesting. It sounds like a mess. But I don't know. It feels like Philadelphia would be a better spot, a better trade partner with the Rockets. Yes, McLovin.
Are you recreating the Suns of the 90s with the Sean Marion, Stoudemire, Nash? Nash is going to, with Kyrie being Nash.
Yeah, but they're not even close to that ego-wise.
Yeah. Could Kyrie be a little bit Nash-like in that role?
Well, he can ask Nash to help him be like Nash since he's his head coach. But, you know, Sean Marion was not a star. I mean, he was a great player in that system. Amari Stoudemire was a very good player. You're talking about three huge egos here, three huge stars here. This is different. Everybody bought into what Phoenix was doing because Nash was a pass-first point guard, and he had to be even told by Mike D'Antoni, you need to shoot more. Sean Marion, great in transition. Stoudemire, you know, benefited from having Nash there as his point guard. This is different. These are three huge egos, and if they can pull it off, be fun to watch, but I would think Philadelphia would make more sense. If I'm Philly... I'd rather bring in James Harden and pair him with Ben Simmons. Send Joel Embiid to Houston and then see if I can make something happen there. Because I know Ben Simmons is not going to go, I'm not getting my touches. I'm not getting my shots. Joel Embiid, I'd be worried about that. That Embiid would say, hey, you know what? I want to be averaging 30 points per game. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. or stream us live on the Peacock app.